Hey listeners, this is Wesley, and thanks for tuning in to the Amplify Your Process Safety Podcast. Today's episode, we talk about risk ranking matrices, how they can be applied, the different things that go into them, different axes, and common pitfalls we've experienced in our careers. As always, Robin, I thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy.
Welcome to Amplify Your Process Safety, the podcast that provides the experience and expertise you need when it comes to process safety and risk management. Our hands-on approach will give you the insight needed, whether you're new to industry or process safety, in a role where you interact with aspects of process safety, or an experienced process safety professional. Join your hosts, Wesley Carter and Rob Bartlett, in their mission to protect people, the companies they work for, and the communities where they operate by making process safety knowledge available to all.
What's going on, Rob?
Not a lot. Time for another podcast.
Are we recording?
I think we're live. Let's do this. Okay. So,
what are we talking about
this
today?
This episode, we thought that it would be an interesting discussion to talk about risk matrices. And here we've talked in the past about how we have different audiences that we're trying to hit. And for this episode, we're going to be talking about risk matrices, really trying to focus on those people who are new to process safety. Talk about some of the thinking that goes on with risk matrices and how to use them, some of the pitfalls, some of our experiences, and hopefully it will benefit those who are new to process safety, but also hopefully some of the other audiences will get a little bit from it as well. So that's what we're going to be talking about. So you want to start off? Like what's a risk matrix and why should we care?
That's quite the risk having me open up with a risk ranking matrix and why we care.
Well, it's a risk. I think it's a relatively low risk. I think the severity of you messing it up is probably fairly low. The likelihood may be high.
Very good.
But the severity is low. So okay. The overall risk, I think, is acceptable. So there we go. We're done with the podcast. That's what a risk matrix
is. You always want to enter a podcast right away.
We got a lot to do. So
Risk ranking matrix.
Yes.
Sure, you've been around them in your experiences. Other people, our listeners, have been around the risk ranking matrices. They're often developed to help you with decision making, especially in, for example, a process hazard analysis or a PHA. So I've got this, let's say I'm doing a hazardous operability study, HAZOP, and I have a deviation. I call it a cause, and it ends up with a certain consequence. That consequence is also called severity. So I've got this severity, and somewhere I say, hey, it's going to maybe injure someone. It's going to lead to 5 fatalities. The differences between, I'll call it low severity versus high severity. It's somewhere on that scale. Then how likely is that event to happen? That's, my likelihood. Pair them together, I get risk. So you and I have seen severity scales, likelihood scales all over the place. They use different subjective matter. For example, likelihood, it can be qualitative statements. So I say this event is rare or this event is likely. This event is going to happen. I use qualitative statements without any numbers, right?
Correct.
Okay. Or we do a more advanced study, like we do a LOPA study, layer of protection analysis, and that's semi-quantitative. And I actually use order of magnitudes. So when I'm saying this event happens, I use something like this happens once every 4 years, 0.25e to the minus one.
So let me unpack that just a little bit. So we've got something that could happen.
Something
that
can happen.
Some sort of a scenario that could happen that will have a consequence.
During a PHA. This is where we identified it.
Right. So in order to understand the risk, we look at two pieces of that puzzle.
Two axes.
One is the severity. So how bad could it be? Mm-hmm. And the other is the likelihood or the frequency. And that's how often would we expect it to happen or how likely is it to happen?
Yes.
We put those together and we have what we call
risk.
The risk. Okay. So we've got the risk. So now, as you say, you're talking axes. So now we've got one axis where we're calling that the severity. We've got one axis that we're calling that the likelihood. Mm-hmm. And there's not just a...
Everyone does it the same.
Isn't there just some place we can go to look up what that risk matrix should be?
No.
No, why not?
Because everyone's creative.
So really...
I think you and I have a preference.
Oh, probably. But the fact is that There's no actual industry standard for what a risk matrix looks like. There are, I would say, best practices.
CCPS has a book.
They have a book.
Guidelines for designing risk matrices.
So there's best practices on how, perhaps how to do it. How do you put together the axes, the likelihood and the severity axes? What's the top severity? Is it one fatality? Is that the worst? Or is it offsite fatalities is the worst?
Mm-hmm.
And then in the middle, so in the middle part of that matrix, we've got where all of these severities and frequencies or the likelihood where they intersect. That's our risk. And we've got, I think the key is, and the reason why we have these matrices is what we're defining is what's an acceptable risk for
tolerable
the company. What's tolerable for the company?
Yeah.
And that's why it's different from company. That's one of the reasons why it's different from company.
Well,
to company.
You touch on a good subject. So, and you and I, you work in our chemicals division. I work in our oil and gas division. So you deal with toxics quite more often than I do, just the nature of the business.
Yep.
So toxics, they can usually, a release scenario for a toxic, sometimes those can get way offsite and impact lots and lots of people, right? So there's a difference there on just the scenarios themselves, severities. You might define things a little bit different. But the idea is between industries, there are events that are unacceptable, I think, and this is no matter what industry you're in, something that has a high severity, high consequence, and a high likelihood. Put those together. This is tragic if it happens.
That sounds very bad and
high risk.
And it's got a high likelihood that it could happen. So that is something that's very, so if we've got something that is
intolerable risk
that is going to kill multiple people and it could happen
once a year,
boy, that's a bad.
Sounds like a bad design.
That sounds like a bad design.
And then on the other end of the spectrum, I have something that if it happens, it might be operational in nature only. It's kind of like more like a nuisance,
maybe like a first.
It could be a first aid, maybe.
It won't be a big deal.
You're with your PHA team, and y'all are struggling. If this would maybe get someone sick, they might need first aid.
So it's very low severity.
And then you're like, in this event, probably I don't know. It may happen. Like we think, I heard this one time. This guy 20 years ago, this happened to him.
You're kind of like, yeah, well, that's probably a fairly low.
It's on the other side of the spectrum. Yeah. And then you've got stuff in between.
Right. So the matrix is going to lay out what the acceptable risk is for the company. Now, as we say, it's specific to the company. Different companies have different tolerances for risk related to process safety. Is that okay?
Yes.
Is it okay for my company to say that one fatality once every 10,000 years is tolerable, while your company may say it's not tolerable? Is that okay?
That's a good question. I think it's I think yes. I say yes.
Well, in general, I think the answer
is yes. Because you're talking
about
an event that's very unlikely. We're not talking about one fatality a year.
No,
you're talking about something. But yeah, I'd say in general, and I think that's that's 1E to the minus 4. Something like that.
The point that I'm trying to make is that it's okay. It's okay for companies to have different tolerances first. And as consultants, we go into different companies all the time. When I go into different companies, depending on how big the company is, depending on how complex their operations are, depending on the types of chemicals they use. I've had some where literally a lost time that could happen once every 1,000 years was not tolerable, was not tolerated.
So they have a
very low tolerance for risk. And then I've been in some where you were kind of like, wow, you really would allow that to happen, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's very different between industries, between company sizes. I can tell you that though, some pitfalls though, some different things.
Yeah. Let's get into pitfalls.
Yeah. So, risk matrices, let's just say I have a 2x2. Two by two, I mean.
What does 2x2 mean?
I've got two levels of severity, and I've got two levels of likelihood.
So I've got really like low high.
Yeah.
Okay.
How limited are you when you're going through a scenario?
It's very
There's
hard
no in between.
Yeah.
It's you're all over the place with where you're at, and sometimes you're going to end up, I heard someone tell me this one time in a training. You want to treat gold like gold and lead like lead. Very difficult to do that when you're very limited on where you, what buckets you can put your severity, likelihood together, your risk.
Right.
Sometimes that's okay, but for like, you know, a big process, whatever, I'd say that's not so good.
So it's been a while since I've seen a 2x2, mm-hmm. 2x2 matrix. I would say in my experience, probably a 4x4 or a 5x5 is more standard.
Yep.
For a subjective.
And qualitative.
For a, for a qualitative PHA. And, you know, probably like a 5x7 is probably fairly standard for a
Which axis gets the 7?
In my experience, that axis is the frequency. And the reason why is because we take in the frequency, so in a qualitative PHA.
HAZOP.
And it's a qualitative HAZOP that as you're doing that sort of qualitative analysis, the descriptors for your frequency are, you know, frequent, rare, occasional, where the definition is a little bit
not possible.
Well, it's not that it's not possible, but it's a little bit of a gray area.
No, I'm talking about the wording you're using.
Not possible. Yes, I'm sorry.
Very, very subjective qualitative statements.
Right. Whereas if you're going to use one that's based more on the actual frequency, and the reason why we would do that is if we're going to move to go as part of the PHA or perhaps after the PHA, do a LOPA, which you mentioned earlier, layers of protection analysis. We haven't really talked about that in the podcast yet. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that'll be part of a future episode. If you're going to do that sort of analysis, you need to, the qualitative just isn't good enough. You need to put some numbers on it. So therefore you say, you know, a frequency of say a 7 would be, it could happen anywhere between once a year and once every 10 years.
So instead of saying, me saying this is likely, we say this happens more than once a year.
Exactly. And if it were a 6, it would be between 1 year and every 10 years. And then from every 10 years and every 100 years. And it keeps going down until basically you get to, I don't know, what's that, like one in 10 million years or something like that?
Yeah.
So that's the reason why you would go, you would have a 7x5. You've got 5 different severities, mm-hmm. but 7 actual likelihoods or frequencies.
So you touch on, you know, the 7x5 and why we would want 7, you know, you're doing a semi-quantitative type study methodology. You can actually, and you can get this really, you can do severities. Like I have been around a matrix that has, I've been around an 8x8. When I say 8x8, what do you think?
At some point, there's just too many buckets.
Too many buckets.
Then you start arguing about, well, is it really a 4 or is it a 5? And you've got the same problem as the 2x2, except on the other side.
Yes, you can get bogged down in the details and arguing when at the end of the day, you're really just trying to say, is this a low, medium, high? And if wherever it falls, do we tolerate that risk? If we don't, what do we do with it?
Right. Okay. Any other pitfalls? I want to go to like what do we end up doing with the risk matrix?
I'm good.
Okay. So I think probably the last point that we want to talk. Oh, you got something?
I do. Okay. I do have something.
All right.
So if you, there's a lot that goes into developing these for a company.
Okay.
A lot that goes in the background. I'm not kidding. I've been working with a guy, doing some other stuff with this organization. It took me a whole year to get their risk ranking matrix adopted by legal because they had some words in there that, you know, some values. And, it, you know, we laugh, but it happens. But,
it totally does happen. I'm sure legal does not like.
Well, because if you say like, you know, this is, you know, you're
saying it's acceptable to have.
Severity level 3 is what we call it, 1 fatality out of our 3 to 5, you know, 1 through 5 scale. Level 3 is 1 fatality. And then below that, you try and put some kind of financial impact. That way, if you have something, you're like, oh, we're going to wreck this piece of equipment. And you say that's $100,000 to $1 million. Legal will look at that and go, are you saying one life is worth $100,000 to $1 million? You're like, no. Then you've got to explain all this.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot goes into developing these risk
ranking. So a lot goes into it, yes.
So you develop one, and then you hire someone to do a PHA for you, a third-party consultant, and they come in with their own risk ranking matrix. Did you take an opportunity to look at theirs and see, does it jive with yours? Or, you know, typically you can hand them yours and say, use this. But you can miss that. And I have seen where a company's got a written procedure for risk ranking and it's a 5x5. And then I show, you know, they come in and they've got this whole different risk ranking matrix where their acceptability, their tolerable, like what they tolerate is shifted.
Yeah.
Because they've defined, you know, you may say severity 3 is 1 fatality and they say, no, that's severity 4 for us. So that whole part of that risk profile shifts
right.
And you know what I mean? So you got to be aware of this.
So first off, I mean, as a consultant going in, the first question you should be asking is, do you have a particular methodology? Do you have a particular software? Do you have a particular risk matrix that you'd like
to use? It makes it easy. You want to use their stuff.
You want to use their stuff. But the other pitfall that I should point out as well is consistency across multi-facility companies. Especially with qualitative risk ranking, so where you've got very general categories, especially for the likelihood, you can have the same process. Say you have sister processes in different plants, the same basic scenarios just totally assessed differently by different PHA teams because they are not consistently applying that risk
say
matrix.
That? I don't think I can say that fast?
10 times fast.
No, six.
Not six. So that's the other thing to be careful of is, you know, if you are in a company that has a lot of facilities or multiple facilities, you've got to make sure that there's at least some effort to have consistency across. And ideally, you've got somebody in your organization who is kind of has that responsibility to make sure that, oh, I've got a plant in Texas and I've got a plant in Wyoming, and they're very similar. So down in Texas, we had a leak of so much material, and this is what we called it. Did we call it the same? Did we have the same type of frequency and likelihood at the other sister facility? Because you want to make sure that those at least agree to a certain extent. Obviously, sister facilities can still have differences, so I'm not saying they have to be the same, but you at least need to make sure that there's some consistency there.
Sure.
Okay. So within our team, we've identified our severity. We've identified what we think the likelihood is, either subjectively in a qualitative sort of a situation or with some sort of guidance in a LOPA situation, and we'll get into that in the future. But so we have some sort of risk number or a letter, like a high, medium, low, or a 1, 2, 3, or some, however the matrix is put together.
If it's this color, it's this part of the matrix.
Right. So, okay, now what am I going to do with that?
The matrix?
So I've got my risk. What am I going to do with that? So I'm going to use it. I'll go to where I was trying to get you to go. So
I know.
What we do is we use that to determine, are safeguards adequate, and is there something we need to do? So if our scenario ends up that the way it's currently designed and operated, we're still in a high risk or a medium risk scenario.
So
I probably need more recommendations.
Yeah, so let me ask you. I'm at my PHA team. We do our study and we come up and we've got 4 high risk items. 2 of them, we don't have any safeguards. How do you feel about that if you're the plant manager, the plant engineer, maybe a high-level manager? What do you think? What's the first thing that comes to mind?
First thing that comes to mind, if I've got something that actually is a high risk, like a 3 or a red or something, is we probably should shut the process down until we can figure out, are we doing something to manage that risk right now? We probably aren't, so we probably should put in some short-term
corrective actions. Because your teams got together and identified this.
Right.
And you said this is high severity, high likelihood.
High likelihood that somebody could basically get killed or multiple people could get killed. Yeah.
And the other thing is 2 of them have safeguards. What do you think?
It depends. At that point, actually, I would probably do a LOPA to see if these
how good
safeguards
are
adequate.
What is the adequacy of those safeguards, right?
Right.
Versus I've got a medium risk and I have safeguards in place.
I'm probably going to be okay.
You're probably going to be okay. Versus I'm low.
I don't need any safeguards. I'm low. I'm good.
I listed them. They're here, right? And so,
So really, I can't really think of anything else to throw out there for risk matrices. I think the key takeaway is that there's different ways to do them. There's better ways to do them from a depending on what you're doing down the road. If you're doing a qualitative, you don't need to have the frequencies and the orders of magnitude that we talked about. If you either are doing or may do a LOPA down the road, it'd be good to start off with your frequencies that are based on your orders of magnitude of likelihood.
While you were speaking, I had something come to mind.
Yeah, what's that?
Something I found very useful when I'm working with a new PHA team.
Mm-hmm.
I like to calibrate.
Sure.
So whether I'm using their risk ranking matrix or they have me bring in a generic risk ranking matrix, it's really good to kind of go with some certain type of scenarios, generic scenarios in the beginning before you start your study. Make sure everyone's on the same page with applying that risk ranking matrix. It can save you a lot of time if you take the time on the front end to walk through. This is the severity. So when we're going through and we're defining consequences or we're writing them up, we're going to be very specific on the consequences that tie us to that severity on the risk ranking matrix. what is this? You know, when we say, especially if you're using a subjective one, a qualitative side, and it's got, you know, rare, improbable, what does that mean? Talk to the group, get everyone to stack hands. That'll save you a lot of time as you're going through your whole PHA and identifying these cause consequence pairs and where they end up on the risk ranking matrix, rather than we didn't set a, you know, calibration in the beginning and every deviation, you've got one person saying, I think it's a four, like we kill five people. And then the other person's going, I think it's a first aid. And you're like, what? I don't get it. You know, get everyone calibrated if you can.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I definitely agree with that. It can save a lot of time. And I think normally during the course of a PHA, you will calibrate anyway.
You get there.
But if you do that up front, you save that initial extra time.
Yeah, and it's also good if you've got someone in the room who, you know, representing the organization who maybe developed the risk ranking matrix. I've had that privilege before. Mm-hmm. They can give some kind of context.
Oh, no, this is what we meant.
No, this is what we meant.
Right.
So sometimes even if they're not part of the team, if you know that person or you can flag the team and say, hey, can you bring them in? Let's make sure everyone's on the same page.
Right. Or, hey,
it's,
but you can also ask them. It's like, hey, we're in the middle. We've got this scenario. What do you think? Mm-hmm. Just to get that kind of expert opinion.
Yep.
All right. So that's risk matrices. Again, as always, if you have any questions or comments, please drop us a line. You can always email us at podcast@amplifyconsultants.com. I haven't said this in a while, but if you enjoy the podcast, please subscribe to whatever podcast catcher you use.
Is it called a catcher?
They used to be called podcast catchers. I don't know if they are now.
Catcher.
I may be a little old on the lingo here.
I don't know.
So anyway, but subscribe.
I did find out we're on iHeartRadio and Pandora now.
Oh,
iHeartRadio? These are recently, as of like yesterday.
All right. So wherever you want to get your podcast fix of process safety information, please subscribe, because we do appreciate that. If you have any feedback, I know that iTunes at least has feedback that you can give, so please do that. So signing off for now, this is Rob.
This is Wesley. Thanks for listening.
We appreciate you joining us for this episode of Amplify Your Process Safety. Head to our website, amplifyconsultants.com, to find our show notes and other resources. Thank you for joining us in our mission to ultimately save lives by advancing process safety right here on Amplify Your Process Safety. Until next time.